able to share with you. Coming to you from lockdown. So we're locked down here. Can you hear me okay? Just give me a wave. Hear that all right? Okay, good. So we are certainly in a time of crisis. My goodness. You've stored up your toilet paper, you know. Some people got enough to retire on now, I think, if they sell it. You know, fear and job loss and conspiracies. My goodness, conspiracies. Have you ever heard some conspiracies? My goodness. You know, Bill Gates has got to be the devil himself, not Freemasons or the Illuminati. It's got to be somebody. Is that right or not? That's conspiracy. But anybody remember, like, back 2K at 2000, like 45 million books sold by Christian writers? Nobody ever apologized, not even one computer crashed. But don't let facts get in the way of a good story, people. Remember, 88 reasons why Jesus was coming back in 88. You know, we were just talking, Jen and I, when we first got saved was back in the time Left Behind movies. Remember that? My goodness, they scared out of you. Is that right or not? And I never forget my son Shane at the time. He was only quite young, and he was so scared he was going to be left behind, and came home one day. And we were gone somewhere, and the meal was still on the table, so he was crying because he thought he'd been left behind. So, you know, it's amazing to me, but, you know, how many people are into fear and panic of all this. You know, John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." So it must be possible to be able to do that, not let your heart be troubled. You know, we live in crisis, but don't let the crisis live in you. You know, it's what you listen to. It's what you focus on. What you focus on will develop. You know, all you got to do is go to Facebook or meet for a while. Isn't that right? And get up. So take, Jesus said, take thought tomorrow. I mean, I know that's easy to say, but you know, you can locate yourself. You can locate anybody real quick. Just listen to them. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Notice the word abundance, not the minority. What's in abundance? If fear is in abundance, that's what comes out of your mouth. If terror, if crisis, if 666, whatever it is, if that's in abundance, that eventually will start to come out of your mouth. So listen to what people are saying and putting up on Facebook, and very quickly, it's easy to identify. What you focus on will develop in your life. And as I said, so many fearful people. I have a friend in ministry here in Brisbane, actually. And you can go on my Facebook, you can pick up his letter. He was just asking, you know, ministers and Christians, please don't be, you know, talking about all these, you know, the computer, the chip in, all this sort of thing. On Saturday morning, he got a call to his church. And down to his church, 2 o'clock in the morning, and somebody had smashed into the church and was still in there. They called the police, went in, and this man was inside, knifing. And when he did, and the police subdued him, the pastor realized he knew the man that had been in his church. You know, he was a father, he's a husband. And what had happened was he was in absolute panic and fear, because when he had a vaccination, he thought that he had the chip put into him. And so he was now, this man, father, husband, is in jail, maybe even go to jail, and simply because he's in absolute panic and fear because he thought that he'd had the chip. And so this pastor was saying, please don't be promoting those things. Don't be putting them up, because if somebody's already a little bit, you know, maybe ready for a breakdown or whatever, it will just take something like that to push them right over. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and of a sound mind. So that tells me fear is a spirit, not given us a spirit of fear. And if we open ourselves up to that, you know, if you start listening to the world, I mean, there's enough Christian nutters out there, is that right? That will really start to shake you up. You know, you got all these so-called experts. Just the other day, I had this lady contact me. And she's talking about it's already been legislated, we're all going to get the chip. And I said, well, isn't it funny that I've got a friend that's a politician? asking, he knows nothing about this. Just lived there, and nobody knows all about it. Doesn't that sort of surprise you that you know something that federal politicians don't even know? She said, nope. She said, I saw a spaceship recently. And I thought, you've left me, mate, that lady, you are too wild for me. I'm out of here. She saw this spaceship in Minicum. You know, and one of the guys that's promoting some of this rubbish, if you go and do a little check on him, he also promotes that the Queen and many of the royalty are actually lizard reptilians from outer space. And I'm going, and people are listening to these people, like, get a life, what's the matter with you people? Right or not? Common sense is not common anymore. You know, in Jeremiah, listen to what he says here. In Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8, it says, let me read it to you here. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. I love that. But his leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, but will cease from yielding fruit. But have a listen to what the Living Testament says. Cursed are those who put their faith in and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness or in an uninhabited land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted alongside a riverbank with roots that reach right down into the deep waters. Listen to this. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. I love that. They're not bothered by the heat. You know, and the heat's certainly on now, or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves will stay green and they will never stop producing fruit. I mean, that's a word for today. I love that. Think about that, isn't that? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Scripture said, right? And lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will what? Direct your paths. I love that. You know, and so many people out there today, we've got prophets coming out of our ears. Well, I don't want to, you know, shake anybody's confidence up, but New Testament prophets are not to give us direction or guidance. We have the Holy Spirit living with us, a spirit of truth that leads us and guides us and shows us things to come. The Old Testament, they needed prophets to speak. They were spiritually dead people. But today we have the spirit of truth that lives within us. Isn't that right? And so as we listen and we trust, he will lead us and guide us. I didn't say it's not a prophet, but that's to give you confirmation to what the Holy Spirit's already spoken to you about. And, you know, as I say, it's amazing to me today. You know, we'll take the word of a mere person. They could be wrong. Are you prepared to base your whole life or future on what somebody else said or meant to say or should have said, you know? Anyway, I'm not. And the other thing that concerns me is we blame God for this. There's so many people out there that this is the judgment of God. Hello? Well, what do we do with Romans chapter 5, verse 1 then in that case? It says here, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Not peace with. I mean, think about that and think about that. Peace with God. God's not angry with us. He's not mad with us. Is that right? He's already poured out his wrath on Jesus. Why would he want to pour it out on me or you as well? We have peace with God. I love that. Think about that. John writes in 1 John chapter 4, and here's a man, as I said when I was over there with you before, that probably knows the love of God more than the other disciples. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, he loved them all, but only one man really recognizes that. You know, if you get Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that's called the Synoptic Gospels. They're written 6 months after Jesus' death. But John's gospel is written 65 years later at the end of his life. And he writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, he said, God is love. Doesn't just have love. He says, God is love. And if you don't love, then you really don't even know God. I mean, how deep is that? And I don't think the disciple of love is trying to, embarrass us or make us feel guilty. What he's saying is, if you don't have a revelation of how much God loves you, then you don't even really know God. Let that sink in your mind. We have peace with God. I love that. You know, think about this. I love eagles. I've got eagles up here on my bench and that. And think about that. I'm looking at the eagle. There's four. They're not panic or lack of toilet paper or anything else. Hello. You know, when this crisis hit, God wasn't surprised. He didn't catch him by surprise. Whoops, I forgot about that one. I mean, he is the God that created the universe. Hello. But he can't supply a bit of toilet paper when things are getting tough. Like, get a life. Anyway, and we're looking at these eagles soaring up there. They're not concerned because they're not connected to the earth. And we not be connected to this world, people. We're in it, but we shouldn't be of it. So Psalm chapter 51, verse 12 in the Amplified says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Most of us have lost our joy. And I'm not being smart. I'm not, you know, criticizing. But most of us, what I observe today, most of us have just lost our joy. He says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." But listen to the Passion Translation. "Let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough that you bring to me." Listen to this. "Let my passion for life be restored." You lost your passion for life. You know, and we're always looking for, praise God, we need to be. But hey, many of us have just lost our passion for life. We've lost our joy, our passion. You know, as I've shared before, we lost our house in Cyclone Tracy, Darwin, Christmas Day, 1979. I'll never forget it. We'd just built a brand new home. We'd been in it 6 months, middle of the night, roof's lifting, and Jan's crying. She's saying, "Honey, look at my curtains. They're all being ruined." Next day, no house, gone with the wind that blew away. And so we grabbed our family and ran across to the neighbor's house, which was a brick house, and that was destroyed as well. We were trapped for 6 or 7 hours. I thought I was going to die. Jan had more faith than me, but I was sure we're going to die here. So Christmas Day, 1974, we step out. Nothing's left. Some of the neighbors were killed. Houses are destroyed. No trees. Semi-trailers upside down, and I'm in shock. Your brain doesn't operate. I went out, and I'm thinking, this is a bad dream. I'm going to wake up. This is just a bad dream. And I'll never forget, I went down back to all we had left was an elevated house. We had like a dance floor, elevated floor with a couple of walls. That's it. Everything else is gone. Oh, we had a fish tank. I remember that too. So I grabbed the chair, and I sat it down, and I'm just staring into outer space. You know, and I'm just looking out there, and along comes this 16-year-old kid, this teenage boy, and he's whistling, and he's stepping over the wreckage and the rubbish, and he says, "Morning, Cole, having breakfast on the patio this morning?" And I looked, and I said, "Patio, you idiot, that's all I've got left." I said, "Jan, give me a brick, I'll kill him. Happy Acres mental home must have blown down, this lunatic." And he started to laugh, and I couldn't help it, I was laughing. He's laughing, I'm laughing. Jen thinks we're ready for cutting out paper dolls now, you know. And the more I laughed, I realized the stress started to lift. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Doesn't it say us in tests and trials we need to count it all joy? I mean, these are scriptures we all know, but who wants to live them? Is that right? And I was just sitting there and I heard the voice of God say, "What are you doing here?" And I thought, well, hey, have a look around. I'm not sunbaking. There's nothing left. If you can't be honest, who can you? I heard God say, "Alive, your wife's alive, kids are alive, your dog scratch. Get up and get on with your life." Hey, doesn't it say that? "Let my passion for life be restored." We went back to church. Some ding-a-ling prophet come along. I think it was more of a loss myself. Hello. And jumped out and prophesied that because we hadn't changed the name of Darwin, so now God's going to send a tidal wave and finish us all off. And I saw the blood drain out of people's faces. People sold their homes and run away, bolted. You know, and I thought, dear God, you know, it's no difference in this crisis right now. Hello, is that right? We will come through this crisis, people. It's not the end of the world. I'm not saying there's not the end, but this is not the end of the world. Listen to me, we will come through this. And the only thing that you really have the control over is your attitude. Where's your trust? You know, pressure doesn't cause cracks in life. It just reveals the cracks in life. It just reveals the cracks in the foundation of what you really believe. Is that or not? And I'm not denying there's not a crisis or anything else, but all that pressure does is reveals the cracks in your life. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 from The Message. I love this. Every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Listen to that. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. The person who wins over the world's ways is simply the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. All the Lord's asking you to do is believe. It's not praying more, it's not fasting, it's not giving more, it's just simply believing. I believe that faith is nothing more than accepting what God's grace has already blessed us with. I hear people say, you're saved by faith. No, you weren't. That's arrogance. You don't have enough faith to save yourself. I certainly didn't. You're saved by grace. And faith is accepting what that grace has already given us. And the grace of God is, think about this, everything you'll ever need in life has already been provided for you. All he's asking you to do is believe it. Believe it and accept it. You know, Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says, those who receive, key word, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life as kings. But not everybody receives the grace of God. Paul talks about that he might not frustrate the grace of God, that the grace of God might not be in vain. How could you frustrate the grace of God? Simply because you don't really believe it. You think that you have to do something more, pray some more, fast some more, give some more. And I'm not knocking any of those things, but there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And God loves you. If you don't know the love of God, perfect love casts out all fear. That's not your love for God. Our love's not perfect. He's talking about God's love for you and for me. And he's the God that created the universe. And if we can't trust him in the crisis, listen to me. It's that faith that it depends where determines where you're going to spend eternity. And we can't trust him in a little minor, well, I'm not saying minor, but a crisis like this. For the food, take no thought for what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, I think, start to meditate scripture. Proverbs 4, I love it, verse 20 to 23. It says here, my son, you know, let me read it to you because I like that. Just give me a minute. I should have marked this, but I didn't. So this is spontaneous. But I love the way that this passage of scripture changed my life. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart, it says, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep or guard your heart, one translation says, with all diligence, above all that you guard, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it come the forces that determine your future life. The only thing that you can control in this crisis is what goes into your heart. Remember that scripture in Proverbs that says, a man that has no control over his own spirit is like a city without walls, defenseless. You know, and so I just want to encourage you, keep yourself in the grace of God. Start meditating. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Meditate scriptures. Power and authority I give to you over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Is that a lie? I mean, would God lie to us? Think about that. Give yourself totally to the grace of God, the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that brings man to repentance. Not 666 and the stormtroopers are coming to get you, but it's the goodness of God. And what the people desperately need to hear today is something, a message of hope. Most people just need a little bit of hope. They don't need the 50 translations in the Greek and the Hebrew. What they need is just a little bit of hope, a message of hope. Hey, in our own street, we're talking to people. I'm talking to my barber the other day. Everybody is so panic-stricken. All I want is just a little bit of hope. You just say to them, Jan was sharing with her lady hairdresser, hey, we'll come through this crisis. We'll come through it. We've been through Y2K. Remember, we've been through 88 reasons why Jesus. Remember, in the early days, as I say, you know, those early movies that scared the hell out of all of us. Is that right or not? But wouldn't it be far better for people to know the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God? For God so loved the world that he gave, not destroyed, but gave his only begotten Son. I love that. We got a message of hope that we can take to the world. But what hope do the world have if we're panic-stricken and fearful like everybody else? And we run out and, is that right? And we're panic-stricken, we're stockpiling toilet paper and tins of baked beans. Listen to me, you know, I don't want to live like that. I refuse to live like that. I'm going to just trust God. That's what it's all about. Trust him for my eternal life and where I'm going to spend eternity. How about just in a crisis like this? Let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough that you bring to me. I praise you for these awesome friends we have in New Zealand, the Kiwi mates we have, for Pastor Ryan, Lord, the church over there, the word of God, the word of grace that they're bringing. Lord, I just speak blessings over these people. I call you the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. Whatever you turn your hands to shall prosper and succeed. The enemy shall no longer sow in our lives, come into our homes and families and kill and maim. Lord, I just thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, your word says, I'll never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Under any circumstances, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I thank you that through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have peace with you. We now have peace with God. Be blessed, Ray, Pam. Love you.
Yeah, love you guys.
We're looking forward to when we can fly again and come over and see you.
To our second favorite country.